Well, it's fair time in Utah, and in the studio with details about this year's Summit County Fair, I have the county's new fair manager, Tyler Orgill, and with the Silly Sunday Market, I got Kate McChesney and Michelle McDonald. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
So, Tyler, the fair kicked off this past weekend with the popular Demolition Derby. What's next?
We've got our open horse show on Tuesday night, and then we move on to our Little Buckaroo Rodeos Wednesday and Thursday night, and then our PRCA Rodeo this coming weekend.
Okay. Demolition Derby, a sellout?
Yep, of course. Yeah, we were sold out of tickets for quite a while.
Okay. What about the rodeo?
We're getting there. It's getting close. I was looking over the ticket sales last night, and Saturday night's almost gone.
Okay. And then what else you got happening there?
Just
at the fairgrounds.
So our Carnival Midway opens up on Wednesday, so we bring on all the carnival rides for the kids. We've got a junior livestock show that starts on Thursday. We've got our home art show, fine art show. They all open up on Thursday as well.
And Pet Fest.
My favorite.
What happens with the junior livestock show?
So kids bring in their 4-H projects. They have sheep, pigs, steers. They bring them in. They've worked with them all summer, and they bring them into the sale where they show their animals, and at the end of the weekend, they end up selling their animals.
Okay. So we've got a bunch of money that's been invested in the fairgrounds the last couple of years. I mean, what are people going to see as a result of all of that investment?
So we didn't see much improvements this year. Most of the improvements are going to come after the fair this year. Last year we were in a new event center, so that was definitely an upgrade.
The Ledges Event Center.
Yeah.
And then the three livestock pavilions and the big new sheep barn.
Okay. So, again, the county contracts with the Silly Sunday Market to do what exactly, Kate?
So basically just the big overview of the event organization. And we've been helping for the last 6 years. And so when Travis English, who took a great job down in Salt Lake, basically Tom approached Michelle and I and said, will you guys still stay on? And so I think it's just we're more in the spotlight, but we're doing more or less behind the scenes and then supporting Tyler because this is a new role for him. But he's also been involved for the last 4 years. So it's just bringing the team back together. And
we can't break up the band.
We lost the drummer, but we're all still playing. And so it's just, again, we've been behind the scenes. And because the Park Silly Sunday Market is off, it actually worked out really, really well.
God forbid if we
go on vacation. So, yeah, here we are out in Colville now.
Yeah, so really just the logistics of...
It's the logistics, exactly. It's checking all the boxes, making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and... making sure everything is just a good, safe venue with a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, so do you spend, last weekend and then all this week as well out there, huh?
We do. We have a campsite that we have, as well as we stay in Colville at the Best Western, because by the time we're done, it's midnight to 1 o'clock, and God knows I don't want to drive 32 or even any of the roads that late with all the wildlife. So, we stay out there.
Just to turn back around the next morning, so. Yeah.
It's nice. It's so beautiful. I mean, it's just a beautiful venue. It's a beautiful town. If you've never been, you really should head out there.
Yeah. So do we still offer the free transportation then between the west side of the county? How does that work?
Yep. So they pick up over here in Park City at the Transit Center over by the Richens Memorial Building, and then the bus takes them over to the fairgrounds.
Runs every half hour.
Starting on Friday.
Okay.
So
Friday and Saturday.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, which really helps out. I mean, there's plenty of parking, don't get me wrong, but just the fact that somebody else has taken you through that canyon and you could look out the window, it certainly does make it nice.
Okay. So, Tyler, you grew up in Summit County. You've been to a bunch of these, and I'm guessing, huh?
Yeah. My whole life I've grown up going to Summit County Fair.
Yeah. What do you like best about it?
I like the rodeo best. Yeah. I always enjoyed going to that with my grandma. She always helped at the home art show. She was the grand marshal quite a few years ago, but she would always get free rodeo tickets and take me and my brother to the rodeo.
Yeah, so do we have a Grand Marshal this year?
Yep, John Hanrahan is our Grand Marshal this year.
Okay, and what does that mean? I mean, what does he do for that?
He shows up to all the events. We give him a ride around the arena. He waves at the crowd. We just kind of put him in the spotlight, you know, kind of show our gratitude to him for his service to the community and at the fair.
Yeah, so, I mean, as the new fair manager, I mean, you just really stepped into this role a couple of months ago. I'm guessing you're just trying to keep it status quo?
Yeah, this year we're just trying to keep it the same, and it's a wonderful event. So,
Okay. What else do people need to know? They can go online for rodeo tickets?
Yeah, they can visit our website, summitcountyfair.org, and find all the information there.
Yeah. Anything from you guys?
I think one of the things that we did bring back was the pie baking contest, and that's something that somebody can still enter. So on Friday, they can bring us their pie around 12:30. We've got four of the wonderful Summit County Sheriff's Department are going to taste all the pies, which after about 22 pies.
Those poor people.
After about 22 pies.
Stomach ache later.
But there's actually it's a good monetary prize, which is nice. So any of the little pie bakers out here, including children, there's a youth pie baking and adult pie baking. Mm-hmm. Bring us your pie on Friday and have a nice lunch and listen to some live music.
Okay. Yeah. Can you give us the rundown of some of the music? Live music every night?
We have live music all day and all night, including we do have some dance troupes from the Colville, Northern Side, Summit County area. We've got Fox Brothers playing. We've got Dan Bates playing. Oh, goodness. Of course, you just put me on the spot. Yeah. I didn't print out the schedule. Anyway, they're all amazing, good country bands, some of them from Summit County as well as some of them from Salt Lake. And it's all totally free under a big tent, so there's plenty of shade. And amazing fair food. Holy cow. We've got chicken sandwiches. We've got scones. We've got dots. Those
Barbecue.
So
Italian ice. Yeah. All the things.
All the things. Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Come fatten up at the fair.
But the rides aren't open until Wednesday then, huh?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Right before Little Buckaroo.
Okay. Tyler, ladies,
thanks
for coming in.
Thanks,
Leslie.
8:40 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, last May, the Park City Council approved the use of a space on Bonanza Drive for local musicians to use as a meeting space and jam space. The project, though, has not gotten off the ground, and at last week's City Council meeting, the final approval was delayed once again. In the studio to tell us more about Muse PC, I have one of those who's been pushing for this, Bill McGinnis. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Leslie.
Well, like I said, I mean, we had reported in May that you did get approval for this. Apparently some concern raised by tenants in the building. So have you been able to get in there at all?
No. And no, we've had no access at all yet.
So what's the holdup?
I wish I knew. If I knew, maybe I could be proactive and do something about it, but I have no idea. This is a project that began this month last year. I've been at it for a year, and it's incomprehensible to me how controversial a space that's about to get bulldozed can be. But what we are is a group of local singer-songwriters of various genres looking to find a space where we can do our song circles, where we can come together and collaborate, where we can support each other in our craft. It's not so much a jam space, which is somewhat, of, I think, of a misconception that could be out there. It's not about plugging in amplifiers and drums and getting loud. It's actually very quiet. It'd be predominantly an acoustic endeavor. That's what singing songwriting is about. It's not about being loud and having a party. It's about actually creating and writing songs, encouraging each other, rehearsing, and becoming better performers.
So the City Council has now decided to hold a public hearing as well as now requiring you to sign a use agreement. So that's all new?
Most of it is, I've stepped back. Jody Whitesides, who's my cohort with Muse PC, has started being a liaison with the city on it. That is all new. I try to be just a local singer-songwriter who's enjoying my craft, and it just feels like it's all spinning out of control.
Yeah, so we don't know why this wasn't done in the first place.
I have no idea why any of this is being done. I came in with a request. We were asked to write proposals. We wrote the proposals. We dotted our I's. We crossed our T's. It looked like everything was good. We got the approval of the city. And at every subsequent council meeting, everything has been pushed back. So I really do not know what's going on. Nobody has been able to tell me what's going on in a way that makes any sense. All I can just say is it's crazy, but you know what? The bottom line of it, I'm sure there'll be a good song that'll come out of it. So nothing is ever lost on a songwriter. It's always fodder for the creative forces.
Yeah. Were you at last week's city council meeting?
I was not able to attend last week. Jody was there.
Yeah. So have you and Jody then met with the tenants upstairs? Because these are paying tenants.
Exactly. We have not been able to meet with the tenants. We've not requested to meet. If any of the tenants would like to contact me, I would be more than glad to explain to them what our vision is and what we would use that space for. But nobody has reached out to Jody or I.
Okay. This sounds like the city, though, has gone back and talked to all of the tenants.
That is what we were informed, is that the tenants had all agreed. Nobody had a problem with the intended use of the space. So it sounds like a few people in the city and Jody and myself were quite shocked when a tenant came and voiced his concern, because we thought everybody was on board.
All right. Well, it sounds like some of the concerns that have been raised is that as paying tenants, they have a right to some peace and quiet. Do we need to talk about tweaking the hours?
The hours that we are looking to use that space are all after hours. So it is not during regular business hours. And we absolutely respect the fact that there are people who are paying and have their businesses there. And if there were ever to be a difficulty, we're very approachable and we understand that. And we would adjust our use to make sure that we were not infringing upon anybody's ability to make a living in that building.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about what's the vision then for this space?
The vision for the space is to have a place that gives us a regular meeting place. We have regular song circles that we've been having. It's just that we've been moving them from place to place, living a rather nomadic existence. We do like to bring in outside artists who are masters of the craft to do workshops. We have Steve Seskins coming the weekend of September 7th, 7th and 8th to do a master level workshop that I'm scrambling to find a home for now. Steve's a Grammy-nominated, award-winning, you've heard his songs type of musician, singer-songwriter. We want to be able to have an all-ages open mic, which would be acoustic in nature, not a plug-in, not loud, such as we used to have at the Kimball Arts Center. But we can't have that on Main Street because there's alcohol in every venue that has an open mic. So we want to get it away from the idea that music is something that's fueled by alcohol, but it's just a craft unto itself. We want to be able to have workshops that would work on our performance skills, workshops that would work on people developing greater musicianship, have our circles where we critique each other's work so we can make our work stronger. So it's really just an idea of bringing singer-songwriters and aspiring singer-songwriters of all ages from all around the Wasatch back to have a place they know they can come to and have these activities so we can stop just working as individuals and really start to work together as a community. We've done it in the past. We've had places that were regulars back in the days when the Colby School was in existence. We had a wonderful working relationship with them and were able to use the music room there on weekends when we had our workshops or in the evenings for circles. Unfortunately, the Colby School went away and we lost that space. And ever since, we've been looking for a home.
Yeah. So you say that you're going to be doing it after hours. I mean, what do those hours look like?
It would be from, say, 6 in the evening till 10.
Okay. Yeah. And then I guess I had heard from one of the tenants, though, that some people work later. So that's, you know.
They do work later. And this is an issue that we approached with Nate Rockwood in our initial proposals, and that there would be a limit to the decibel level. So it would be soft enough that nobody upstairs would hear us.
And in terms of how many people you would get at one of these?
Our normal community gatherings, be it a circle or a workshop, get no more than 20 people. If there were to be situations where we would do a Bluebird style or a showcase, there may be 40 to 50 people in attendance. That would always be on a Friday or a Saturday night. That would be something that we would approach all the tenants about and make sure they knew it. If they had an issue with it, we would address that issue.
Yeah. So from this space, are you able to get into the other spaces or is it its own lockup? I mean, because there was some concern about
that.
Yeah,
the city had talked about there was one spot where there's an opening and that would be doored. There is a door that goes out to the restroom. We would have to use that. A restroom. I mean, people would be there. People have to use restrooms, please. You know, we actually have used the Benson building. One of the tenants there has kindly hosted a space for us there. And the tenants in that building have actually enjoyed listening to the music. And there have been no issues. I can understand the concerns. Let's be frank about it. Musicians can have a reputation for being the gypsies in the palace, as it were. I can guarantee everybody that is not our group. Our group is a well-intentioned group of creative artists who are just simply looking for a space where we can improve our craft.
Okay. Tell me, you've got the Singer-Songwriter Festival coming up September 7th and 8th, and you also have a Kids Write Songs workshop coming up as well?
Well, the festival is actually the weekend after. That's the 13th and the 14th. But on the 7th and 8th, my good friend and mentor, Steve Seskin, who is an award-winning, Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter, he's written hits for people like Tammy Wynette. God, the list just always blows me away. He's been recorded by Peter, Paul, and Mary. That's the easy one with his song, Don't Laugh at Me. And Steve works with Peter Yarrow as a director and a participant in Operation Respect. And Kids Write Songs is an offshoot of Operation Respect. And this year, through the generosity of the Park City Education Foundation and Mountain Town Music, we're able to bring Steve in. At this point, we have solid commitments from three of the four elementary schools and from Ecker Hill Middle School. Steve will go into those schools and spend a day with the students of those schools where he will facilitate their writing a song that is specific to that school's needs, situations, as songwriters do. You write about yourself. Songs will be written about the schools, and then at the end of that week, well, each day in each school, there'll be an assembly at the end of the day for the kids to be introduced to their song and introduce it to their fellow schoolmates. And at the end of the week, everybody will come together at the Eccles Center for a Friday evening concert that'll feature Steve and the songs that have been written by the kids during the course of that week. So it's a really neat thing. We did the Kids Write Songs about 3 or 4 years ago. Steve came and we did it at Trailside and at Ecker Hill, and it was just a raging success in both of those schools. The kids still sing their songs that they wrote all that time ago.
So when's the event happening at the Eccles? What date is that?
The event at the Eccles will be on Friday night, the 13th.
Okay.
God help me putting an event on Friday the 13th. And we anticipate that being from 6 to about 7 or 7:30 in the evening.
Okay. So I guess we're just kind of holding your breath. You're holding your breath until August 15th. Find out what happens.
I'll be in Lyons, Colorado at Song School on August 15th. I will not be holding my breath. I'll be singing and writing songs and having a wonderful time.
Okay.
But I'll be anxiously awaiting the news.
So if people want to talk to you about it, how do they get a hold of you?
They could reach me. They can just email me at BillMcGinnisMusic@gmail.com. That's Bill, as in Bill, McGinnis, MCGINNIS, music@gmail.com.
Okay, Bill. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Leslie.
That's local songwriter and singer Bill McGinnis. KPCW News Time now, 8:51. You're listening to the Local News Hour. It's 8:52. Good morning. While the Park City Film Series Dark for the summer, they've offered a number of special screenings during the summer months. In the studio to tell us about a few of those final screenings before kids get back to school is Park City Film Director Katie Wang. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how many films have you offered all summer long? Any idea?
We have been partnering with the Park City Library the past couple summers. This year we reimagined our summer series. We do it once a week. It was kind of a throwback retrospective series the past couple years, and this year it's the International Summer Film Series. So the intent is to bring films from around the world, but show them in English to our community. So it's 6:30 on Tuesday nights. They're always free with free popcorn. And we've had a great turnout this year. It's been fantastic. So it's films that, you know, like March of the Penguins, which came here through Sundance and kind of a nostalgic film, to Studio Ghibli films like Castle in the Sky, which we did last week, which is a fantastic anime film and one of the first out of Studio Ghibli. And then next Tuesday, or this tomorrow, we'll be showing He Named Me Malala, about Malala Yousafzai, who is a Nobel laureate who's advocating for the rights of girls and the rights to education, and as a result of her activism was targeted by the Taliban, and they made an attempt on her life, which fortunately she survived. But it's just a fantastic story, and just, I was rewatching it the other day. I mean, just so inspiring to see what this young woman has done. She's 22 now, but she was 16 at the time of her assassination attempt. And has just, you know, it didn't stop her. And if anything, it amplified her voice. And it's just something that we hope that our community members can come to. Certainly the young people. It is PG-13. I mean, certainly, you know, that having an assassination attempt in your life is kind of a traumatic moment. you know, kind of part of the storyline. But it's just so inspiring, I think, for young people to see what other young people around the world are doing, that this affects not just Malala. Her story is uniquely hers, of course, but it affects 6 million girls around the world that are denied the right to an education. And you know, she is that vocal voice, and hopefully giving voice to others and creating that path. So that's really kind of the series, is to expose us to other cultures, other stories, if there are stories that you can resonate with or something that you're learning about for the first time. So it's really been fun. We've showed probably about 10 films this summer total.
So you have two preteen girls. I mean, is that the He Named Me Malala, was that something you think they'd be interested in?
My 12-year-old, certainly. I'm definitely bringing her. I'll bring my 7-year-old because she gets to come to everything. Regardless, I wouldn't recommend it necessarily for someone quite that young, but I think it's for her. She will, the parts that she will connect with, I think will make her think a little bit more about how girls are treated. I mean, you know, kids, my kids, like everyone else's kids, complain about going to school and have to get up so early. And, you know, for them to realize that this is a privilege in some countries, that in most places in the world, they would be scrubbing the floor and getting ready to be married, you know, at age 12. I mean, that's what Malala says in part of the movie. She says, you know, if I did not get an education, I would have 2 children here as I'm talking in this interview at age 16. And it's just astounding to think. And I think it's easy to forget in the United States and in other developed countries, you know, what it's like in other parts of the world and how we have to be vigilant and keep an eye on that and support them.
Okay, and then coming up next week, you've got the final screening, the Seattle Children's Film Festival Shorts Collection.
Yep, so this is International Children's Film Festival in Seattle, and they curate a collection of shorts from all over the world. So some are nonverbal, but all will be screened in English. You know, other English-speaking countries, either they're dubbed or they're originally made in English. But again, kind of a fun way to end out the series. It's rated G, so for all ages, but just to experience stories and cultures from around the world. And that's what I love about foreign cinema, is just the storytelling is so different from what we get here in the United States. I mean, Disney's great, but it is kind of a very similar storyline throughout all the different stories they present, and to see something completely different ways of looking at the world. And that'll be a great way to end out our series. And you can go to parkcityfilm.org and check out some trailers for both of those films. But they're always free, thanks for partnership with the Park City Library and support we get from the Summit County Raptax and the Utah Arts and Museums.
Okay, and then coming up this weekend, it's the annual drive-in. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is our 4th annual drive-in. It's been really fun. We've been partnering with the Prospector Square Homeowners Association, or Property Owners Association, sorry. And in the beginning, it was just really a way to get people to come to a different part of town. You know, we were kind of stuck in the library most of the year, and for us to be able to go to a different part of the community and bring some great films. And just, again, as our mission says, to create community around film. So the intent is it's kind of for locals to just come out. If you're in the neighborhood, you can cruise over. We're calling it, it's a drive-in movie experience. So thanks to KPCW's Roger Crawford, we have an FM transmitter. He generously lends that to us every year, so it'll transmit the sound into your car. So, you know, it's great to see movies at night, but it gets a little cold, so we will start at dusk out there in Lot K, which is kitty corner to Freshies, and transmit the sound into your car. We'll also have lawn seating, quote-unquote lawn seating, so we'll put out outdoor carpet and folks can sit in front of the screen. So if you're in the neighborhood, you can just walk or bike over and experience a movie. You don't have to drive, even though it is a drive-in.
But you'll have then speakers out?
So then we have external speakers as well, and you can hear the sound at the back. So if you're in your pickup truck or whatever, sitting in the back, you can still hear the sound externally. What's nice, it's kind of a canyon. There's a lot of businesses around there so that it echoes back in, and it actually keeps it quite warm being on the asphalt as opposed to on a grassy area. And we always try to program something that we feel will be accessible to our community members. It's rated PG this year. It's a film called Storm Boy from Australia. Jeffrey Rush is in it, playing the older version of this young boy who grows up on the South Australian coast and raises some orphaned pelicans. And it's just this story about unconditional love between a boy and his animal. It's about family. It's about environmental conservation. And it's just, I think, the scenery is stunning. I mean, it's South Australia coast. You can't really get much better. And in Australia, it's actually a classic story by Colin Teal. And so Australians know the story quite well. So to put it back on the screen, it's actually a remake of a 1976 film. But just a great way to kind of bring people together to share in a story just about, you know, the world and kind of our connection to it. So
real quick, the cost then?
So it'll start at $9, and then it goes up to $30, and that's the VIP pricing for the front row car seats. And so you can go on our website, parkcityfilm.org, and see the the ticket price. And it's all a fundraiser for Basin Recreation. They're also a partner on this. They bring in the screen. They've got this awesome huge screen they bring in and all their folks. And so ticket proceeds will benefit their youth scholarship fund. So kind of everyone wins. You get a great night out and you get to support kids getting outdoors throughout the rest of the year.
And when does the regular film series start back up?
September 6th. So we'll be back the weekend after Labor Day because the Friends of the Library have their book fair every year. So we come in that next weekend and I'm just programming that right now. So we've got some great films coming up that I'm really excited about. And I'll be back in a couple weeks to talk about those after the Telluride Film Festival, which will be another preview for the winter really films to come. So
okay, nothing on the calendar yet, though.
Nothing on the calendar yet. We have our Foreign Cinema for Children and our Books to Movies Films programs because those are a little easier to program out. And I have a lot of special screenings kind of coming up, but we'll release everything at the same time. So in a couple weeks, you'll see everything up there. But yeah, parkcityfilm.org. Get tickets to the drive-in. There's only 34 car spots, and there's a limited number of seats in front of the lawn. So I'd encourage people to get on and get your ticket early so that you make sure you get a seat. And Snyderville Station will be there at 7 o'clock with live music starting at 7 o'clock. So even if you don't come to the movie, come listen to some great music. And, you know, it's kind of a community event. We'd love to have you there.
Okay. Katie Wang, the director of Park City Film, thanks.
Thank you.